Right. I want to go ahead and get started today with a lesson. Today being the first Sunday in September, September the 7th, 2025, we are going to be looking today at lesson number 10. Lesson number 10 in the book of Nehemiah. We've been looking at the book of Nehemiah. And in this lesson today, we're going to see how God's Word is powerful. God's Word is powerful. I don't know how many times I was preaching Wednesday at the nursing home. I'll be preaching again this afternoon at Atlee Hill. And at 1:30, we got some of our folks over there in rehab and different places going through some difficult times. But you know what? The Word of God speaks volumes. And folks, the Word of God has been under attack for a long time. Since the Garden of Eden, Satan has attacked the Word of God. He's questioned the Word of God. But in the lesson today from the book of Nehemiah, we're going to be looking at Nehemiah chapter number 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. As we study this today, I want us to see how that God blesses the work of God. They rebuilt the walls to the city. Record time, 52 days. The walls were rebuilt, the city was restored, and now Nehemiah knows that the people need strength, they need encouragement, they need help, they need motivation. And you know what? We find all of those things right here in the Word of God. And as we look at this lesson, I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul. He wrote to the church at Philippi. And he said this in Philippians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. He said this. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know what? Each of us have a desire to be with the Lord. I'm looking forward to the day that I get to see Him. I'm not afraid to die. I know where I'm going when I die. Amen. If you know Christ is your Savior, you don't have that fear. All death is a doorkeeper. And all he can do is open the door from this life to one where we are with the Lord Jesus. But you know what? Many folks fear death and fear what's going to happen in the future. And though we don't know what's going to happen in the future, praise God, I know who holds the future. And we can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we are here, God has given us a job to do. And that is to live for Him, to serve Him, to bring others the message that changes lives, to take the message of the gospel to every part of this world, beginning right where we live, right where we live. And so today I want us to look at this lesson. And I want you to see how powerful the Word of God truly is. All right? So first of all today, I want us to see this, that Nehemiah recognized the Scriptures as the Word of God. He recognized the Scriptures as the Word of God. You know what? There are many men today that look at this book and they say, oh, it's just a book written by men. But this is so much more than a book written by men. This is God's Word. And you know, when pastor sends out a note to us or anything like that, Mrs. Mooring will type up that note. And I could just simply say, it's just a note from Mrs. Mooring. Don't worry about it. But if the boss finds out we didn't listen or do what he's needing us to do in that note, but we get in trouble, don't we? And you know what? That note was important. It was transcribed by somebody. And God used men to write these words so that you and I could have them today. That we might come to know the facts. Number one, that we're all sinners. Fact number two, that there's a debt for our sin that we all deserve to pay. But in spite of it all, fact number three is that God still loved us in spite of our sin. Amen? And He gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay the debt for that sin. We would have never known that had we not had the Word of God. And every time I've had some folks down here that are Jewish and they say, I'm Jewish. I don't want to hear that Bible stuff. And you know, it tends to kind of get on your nerves after a while until you think about it. And I told the last folks I talked to about that. I said, well, you know what? If it were not for you as Jewish people, us old Gentile dogs wouldn't have the Bible. You know what? It was you folks that came to know Christ as their Savior. You saw the light of the promised Messiah, and you wrote it, put it down in the words that God said to write, and extended it to us, brought it to us. And you know what? Because of you folks, we have the message of the Word of God. And you know what? They're looking for a conflict, but they didn't see that conflict. And it opens them up more to listen to the Word of God. And folks, here on the very first day of Tishri, all right, as we read in chapter number 8, the seventh month in the Jewish calendar, it coincides with our September-October era. We read here in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month." I want you to think about this. In this month, the Jews were commanded to observe and celebrate three sacred events that God had given unto them to never forget. This week, we are to not forget about what happened on 9/11. I remember my grandmother always used, she had a little pin, and it said, "Remember Pearl." Well, my grandmother's name was Pearl, okay? Her name was Pearl Knupp, all right? And it was a German name. And I thought, "Grandma, why are we supposed to remember you?" And she said, "Oh, that's not the pearl that you're supposed to remember. It was Pearl Harbor she was talking about and the disaster that happened there that took us into war, into the Second World War." And you know what? She told me, she said, "Never forget." And she showed newspaper articles and all these things about that day. And you know what? We're thinking about that this week. And we're remembering that day that happened to us in our country again 24 years ago this year, 2001. And you know what? We never need to forget that. But God said to His people, He said, "There are some things I don't want you to ever forget." Now, I don't have time to read all of this, but you make this note. Here's where it was mentioned in Leviticus chapter number 23. Leviticus 23, verses 23 through 34, through 44, were given the words from God. Moses recorded them, and he said, "Here are three things that we need to do in order to remember what God had done." These three events are mentioned here in Leviticus chapter 23. Now, I'm just going to give them to you real quick, okay? The first event was the Feast of Trumpets. And here in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24, the Bible said, "In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation." They were to sound forth the trumpets and remind folks of what the day was all about. Then the second event was stated there in verse 27 of that same chapter. It said, "On the 10th day of the month, they were to celebrate the Day of Atonement." The Day of Atonement. You look at that word, at-one-ment. At-one-ment. When God did what no one else could ever do. And listen to what it said. The Bible said there in verse 27, "Also on the 10th day of this seventh month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." And then, as you go down in that same chapter, verses 39 through 44, we see the third event. And they were to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles, or the booths, okay? They constructed a little booth for every family, for everyone. And he stated this. He said, "Also, in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, and branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I have made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. What a great way to start their new civil year. Amen. And they were to start that new year by remembering what God had done for them. I was talking to a young man on Friday from our school, and he was talking to me about knowing the Lord. He's come to know Christ as his Savior. And I told him, I said, you know what? That's what I did when I was 15 years of age. And I had the little New Testament that I kept in my pocket all those times until the Lord called me to preach. And I used to lead folks to Christ. And I was showing him. And there were some 200 names in there that I had led to Christ. I had the date they got saved, their names written down, their address, so I could bring my Sunday school bus. I had a Sunday school bus down in North Carolina. I brought folks to church. And a lot of those kids rode my bus to church on Sunday. We led them to Christ at school. And on the bus, we didn't have money to have a car. Most of the seniors and the juniors all had cars to drive to high school with. I rode the bus because we didn't have it. And my thought was, boy, what a sad thing that is. But you know what? It was to my advantageous opportunity to be able to lead those kids that I rode that bus with to school, to lead them to Christ. And I told them, I said, listen, what you need to do as a young person is never forget, number one, where God brought you from. Never forget what God has done for you. And never forget that folks around you need the same thing that God has done for you. And folks, that's what God wanted them to do. So here in God's Word, we see it now in verses 1 and 2, Nehemiah chapter 1, or chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, Nehemiah supported the desire of the people to hear the Word of God. Man, what a blessing. I got to lead a young man to Christ. I had a father come to me on Sunday, and he was just in tears. He said, I've got a burden for my son to be saved. And he said, I've not been living for the Lord. And he said, God's brought me back to church, and I want my family to be saved. He said, could you come and talk to him? And we made arrangements for that. And I went by to see him Thursday night. And I took another man with me. And we went by to see him Thursday night. And that young man got saved, 12 years old, got saved. And I said, now, here's what I want to do. I want to make sure that you got a Bible. And so I've got him a Bible. I'm supposed to meet him out here right after service today. And he's going to make a public profession of faith today. And his dad's going to be here with him. I'm hoping his mom's going to be here with him today. But you know what? He wanted a copy of the Word of God. And I said, I've got one for you. I'll have it for you when you come on Sunday. And folks, these people got excited about the Word of God. We need to get the excitement of the Word of God again. And you know what? If we will hide the Word of God in our heart that we might not sin against Him, you know what? It's going to bring some joy to our heart. Our pastor is always saying, get in the book, get in the book, and let the book get in you. And that's what we've got to do. Nehemiah saw that with the people. And because of his godly leadership and his example that God desired for him to put in front of the people, he went along with this. And now on the first day of the week, all the people, the Bible said, gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And in verse 2, look at it. We see Ezra's response. Ezra, his response to the people. And the Bible said there, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the 7th month. Why did this happen? Why did all this come about? Let me tell you why. It's because these people now recognize the fact that this book of the law of Moses was indeed God's word. Amen. They had seen the scriptures being fulfilled. Jerusalem had been rebuilt, even as the Bible said it would happen to do. And so now, because they recognized this, they wanted to call themselves the people of God, and they wanted to hear what God had to say. You know what? That's the way we ought to be. Man, we ought to be excited about coming, not just for the donuts, okay? All right? Listen, we tried to take out all the calories. That's why there's a hole in the middle of most of them, okay? All right? Now, some of them still got extra calories in them because they got that cream in there. Some of you have to wipe your lips and things like that to get the cream off, but it's good. But listen, you know what? We come to the house of God. Why? To hear the word of God. That's what gives us strength. That's what gives us encouragement. That's what helps us to go on in this life. And when we see all these things happening in our world around us, we say, listen, God's word said it was going to happen like this. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to keep on telling folks about Jesus. And these people got excited. That's why Paul wrote, I believe with all my heart, he wrote in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, he said this, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And then he went on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, it's foolishness. The world thinks that this is foolish. They don't want it in our schools. They don't want it being read. They don't want the name of Jesus to be mentioned. They don't want to have anything to do with this. They think it's foolishness. But to you and I who know him as our Savior, Paul wrote here, he said, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. The word of God is the power of God. And then he goes on down in verse 21 to say this. He said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Man, the foolishness of preaching. The world says, oh, it's just foolishness. But that's what brought conviction to my heart. That's what brought conviction to your heart. When the pastor asks you, when you gonna get saved, Alberta? No, Roberta. All right, I got a kidder, all right? I got a kidder, all right. I sent them a note yesterday for their wedding anniversary. I put it in big capital letters, R-O-B-E-R-T-A, and got the name right, all right? But you know what? Listen, it brought conviction to our heart. Why? Because there is power in the word of God. And we've got to recognize it. We've got to utilize it. And we've got to allow the word of God to do what God intends for it to do. And now this section of walls surrounding the Watergate, it was making an excellent place to, for all the people to congregate. And they came to this place where everyone, as you see here in verse number 2, could come together. And there Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both the men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. Now think about this. Men, women, children of all ages, anybody that could understand, they were there. Amen? And they were there because they wanted to be there. Why? Because they had recognized what God had done for them. Folks, never forget what God has done for you. Amen? We may weep today because of losing loved ones in this life. But oh, what a reunion day we're going to have when we get to be in heaven. Amen? We're going to get to see them again, not as suffering with the ails of this old body and not with cancer and not with frail bodies anymore, but we're going to get to see them. And I was thinking with Miss Marion, her vision was bad. She had macular degeneration, right? Peripheral vision on all of it. But can you imagine she closes her eyes here on this earth, and man, she opens them and sees all that God has prepared. And she gets to see the face of our Lord Jesus Christ clear as day. Amen? Can you imagine that? I can't imagine what it's going to be like when we're going to get to be with Him in heaven. But we have that told to us in the Word of God. That ought to excite us. Nehemiah realized that this book of the law of Moses was more than just a book written by Moses. It was indeed the Word of God. Amen. And what you hold in your hand, when you hold this book in your hand, you're holding a piece of eternity in your hand. Think about that today. The Word of God, it's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It brings conviction to those who are lost. It brings excitement to those that are serving. It brings encouragement to those who are down and out. And folks, all of this, the Word of God, is a powerful book. I want you to look at this. Nehemiah himself listened attentively to God's Word. I'm glad I got a pastor that does not go to AI and say, AI, I need a message for Sunday. Can you give me something? Now, you may think that's funny, but I got an email from a company saying, Pastor, we know you live a stressful life, and sometimes you just don't have time for the Word of God. They wanted me to subscribe to messages, okay, prepared by AI, okay? That is artificial inspiration. Okay? I want my inspiration to come from the Holy Spirit of God that promised that He would bring all things to remembrance that He's taught us in this old book. Listen, Nehemiah got excited about the Word of God himself. And he stood there attentive. Listen to what the Bible said. And he, speaking of Ezra, the priest and the scribe, he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Now think about this. Morning, the Jewish morning, what time did it start? 6 a.m. Till midday, what time is that? 12 o'clock, midday. All right, midday. Good night. Did he read for 6 hours? And people didn't get upset? And people didn't complain about the seats were too hard on the pews? Or, you know, my legs are asleep? Or... Preacher, I watched the late show last night, so I can't stay up for the preaching today. If you preach more than 20 minutes, you're in trouble with me, preacher. No, that's not what they said. Listen, the Bible said he preached before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of how many of the people? All the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra, the scribe, stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood the men that were helping him. All right? Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand. And on his left, Padiah, Mishael, Malchiah, Hashem, Hashbadanah, Zechariah and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Think about this. All the people stood up. Why? In reverence, in respect to the Word of God. Amen? They stood in respect. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And all those men that were standing with Ezra there, okay, I'm not going to name them all right, caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. You know what? There is the purpose for what we do right here at Church of the Open Door. So that the people can hear the Word of God being read distinctly. And then we give the sense of that. We make it we help you to understand it, and we cause them to understand the reading. And they did this from the morning until midday. And all the ears of all the people were attentive unto the law. And as Ezra read the word of God, it says here that Ezra the scribe stood upon the pulpit which they had made for the purpose. You know what? They wanted to hear the message. They wanted it to be the center of everything they did. And folks, that's what we need to do. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen? We're not here to have a big concert. We're not here to do all these other things. We're here to give the Word of God and give it distinctly, to make it to have sense to the people's hearts and the minds. I thought about this young boy that I gave the gospel to Thursday night, and he sat there and he just looked at me, and I said, "Do you understand what I'm saying about salvation? How it's not by you just being a good boy, and it's not just you getting baptized. That's not got anything to do with it. If it was baptism, there'd have been no reason for the Lord God to send His Son Jesus to die on the cross, to suffer and to bleed and to die the way He did. He just said, oh, go get baptized and you'll get to go to heaven. Baptism won't get you to heaven. You know what? When he heard those words and I gave him the scripture, he said, that makes sense. And I said, now, do you see yourself as a sinner? Oh, yes, sir, I know that. His dad just kind of snickered. He said, yeah, a big sinner. And I said, your dad said you're a big sinner? He said, well, I'm just a little sinner. He's the big sinner. But you know what? Listen, he understood. We gave the sense, and he placed his faith and trust in a Savior that could forgive him of all that sin. That's the power of the Word of God, folks. Now look at it. Nehemiah challenged the people to properly and to obediently respond to God's word. You know what? That's why a pastor always gives an invitation at the end of the service. You give an invitation. What's the purpose of the invitation? So that people can respond. There's only two times, I heard an old preacher tell me one time, he said, there's only two times that you don't need to come to the altar in your life. There's two times that you need to come to the altar in your life. And I asked him, I said, what do you mean? I don't understand. He said, when the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, you need to come. You need to come and respond and get things right with God. And I said, well, so what's the second occasion? He said, when the Holy Spirit is not speaking to your heart and you don't see the need. It's when you need to come to the altar. And you know what? He was right. There needed to be an invitation given to the people to respond. What are you going to do now with God? What are you going to do with Jesus? I asked this young man Thursday night. I said, now, you realize you're lost. You realize the debt you deserve to pay. But you know what? Let me ask you this. If God were willing to save you tonight, would you allow Him to do that? Would you be willing to let the Lord God do what He promised in His Word He would do for you? He said, oh, yes, sir, I'd like to do that right now. And right there on that couch, he bowed his head and he asked Christ to come in his heart and save him. You know what? People need to be given the opportunity to respond to the message. After the message today, we're going to hear about some things that happened. It's going to draw people to see their need for a Savior. Pastor will give an invitation. You know what? We're praying that God is going to speak to hearts and help people to see their need of a Savior so that they will come to know Christ. Why? Because the Word of God is powerful and it will convict and it will bring people to the Savior. I'm going to stop right here. We'll finish up this lesson next Sunday. I don't have time to finish it today. But man, if you'll be back next Sunday, I'll finish it up here where Nehemiah challenges the people to properly and obediently respond to the Word of God. Let's pray and let's thank God for this old book we call the Bible. Amen. Let's thank Him for it today. Let's pray as we're dismissed. Father, Lord, I love You today. And I know, dear God, that today there are going to be some special guests here. We're going to honor them because of their service, their love for this community. Lord, their desire to help people and to draw people away from danger in time of need. But Father, The most important thing today that we're going to be looking at is to make sure that folks know for sure that if anything were to happen to them, that they'd go to heaven if they were to die. Lord, no one was expecting this terrible event to happen 24 years ago on September the 11th. But God, it happened. And Lord, many lives were lost that day. And Lord, we want as many people as we can in this community to be able to hear the message of the Word of God and to see their need of a Savior, to see how that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Father, I pray, God, that You'll use our guest speaker today to speak the words, God, that You would have him to speak. Lord, I pray, God, that You'll speak to hearts during those service time. And Lord, please, allow folks to accept Your invitation to come to know You as their own personal Savior even today. Father, we love You. We thank You, God, for this time that we've had together. Bless the service now we're about to go into, and God will thank You for what You do. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being in Sunday school today. Love you. Appreciate you being here.